Again, good morning and welcome. We're in our continuing Bible study in the book of Luke, and we're in chapter 9. Been a couple of weeks since we were together. And last time we were together, we were dealing with Herod, and the last message was no way out. Herod was perplexed. He heard of all the miracles that Christ had done, and yet if he admitted that he was really the Christ, then he was in trouble in one way, and if he denied him, he's in trouble the other way. And we learned that there really is no way out except through Jesus, who is the way. The scripture tells us. And so now we come to this part in Luke where the feeding of the 5,000, the five loaves and the two fishes. And we're going to begin in reading in verse 10. And as we go through this, remember the question that Herod said, who is this? I beheaded John. And they said, he said, who is this? And this is, well, some people say he's a prophet. Some people say he's Elias. And so as we go through this next section here, and the apostles in verse 10, when they were returned, remember the Lord had sent them out. And part of our lesson today deals with this very thing. He sent them out, and he says, take no scrip, take no bread, don't take two coats, don't take a stave. Go out and preach the gospel. And now they're back. And the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done. It's interesting that he called them disciples up till then. Now they're called apostles. They were learners before, and now they're messengers. They told him all they had done, and he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. And that's on the, if you're looking at a map, you would look at the Sea of Galilee, and Bethsaida would be kind of in the upper right corner of the Sea of Galilee, up on the northeast area. And that was part of Herod's jurisdiction up there in Bethsaida. And the people, when they knew it, they followed him, and he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, send the multitude away that they may go into the towns and country round about and lodge and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place. And he said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said, we have no more but five loaves and two fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all this people. For they were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, make them sit down by fifties in a company. And they did so, and made them all sit down. And he took the five loaves and the two fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and brake, and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. And they did eat, and were all filled, and there was taken up fragments that remained to them, 12 baskets. And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, whom say the people that I am? And that's the area that we're going to cover today, through verse 17 there. And so he had called his disciples together, gave them power and authority over devils and to cure diseases, and sent them to preach the kingdom of God, to heal the sick. And we noted in our earlier lessons how the Lord was instructing them concerning himself and the kingdom of God and how things were in this world. Remember the parable of the sowers. He said, you're going to go out and sow the seed. Some of it's going to fall on ground that's rocky. It's not going to sprout. Some of it's going to fall on in the thorn patch, and that's not going to grow. And some of it's going to be trodden under, and some of it's going to be eaten by the birds. He says, but some of it is going to fall on good ground.
Amen.
And so he wanted them to know what they were going to expect when they went out into the world there. And he gave them that valuable lesson about when they were on their way to Gadara and the sea came up into a raging storm, and he calmed that raging sea. And then they get to Gadara, and he calmed the raging soul of that maniac there in Gadara. And again, we mentioned earlier that when he sent them out, he said, take nothing. Don't make provision for yourself. Take nothing. Total reliance on Christ for everything. And today's lesson, we look at that again. And we mentioned earlier about the lesson concerning Herod, how everyone's attention was brought to a question concerning who everyone thought Jesus was. And this lesson today begins another segment which amplifies that question and reveals the importance of the answer. Today's lesson contains the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 with five loaves and two fishes. And you know, this is the only miracle that's recorded in all four of the Gospels. It's the only one. And they each have a little different perspective on it. Each of them brings us back to the fact of Jesus being the true bread of life. And John, the Gospel of John, gives us probably the most detail about everything that went on there. Luke kind of just skims over it in just five verses. He's on to the next thing, you know. But John gives us quite a lot more detail, and we'll borrow some from that today. But mostly we're going to stick with Luke's narrative here and how that applies. But each of these narratives of the five loaves and the two fishes brings us back to what was demonstrated in the Old Testament in a type and a shadow. And we find that in Exodus chapter 16, verse 1 through 8. And we could turn back there and read that real quick in Exodus chapter 16. And of course, we're in the book of Exodus. They've left Egypt, and they took their journey from Elam, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elam and Sinai, and on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Isn't that just a telling verse there? And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel at even, then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. For that the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against him. And what are we that your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord? So in the morning, flesh to eat, or in the evening flesh to eat, in the morning bread to the full. And that's just a description of what we're seeing right here on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, this multitude. Now, as we mentioned earlier, some of the other Gospels gives us different details. One of them says it was five, I think it was Matthew says it was 5,000 men besides women and children. So there was a lot more people there than just the 5,000. And that's a, by any stretch of measurement, that's a lot of people to take care of. And John tells us that it was barley loaves. There's a young lad here that has, but he has five barley loaves and two fishes. And if you maybe remember from, I think from Mark and John in our Bible studies there, we kind of spent some time looking at the barley loaves and how they were the first fruits and kind of the poorer kind of grain that we would find there. And so each of these Gospels that tells us about this miracle here, they all bring edification to the church. They bring light about the Lord himself and his dealings with his people. And it begins in verse 11, it says, with Christ spake unto them of the kingdom of God. That's the most important thing. And it was interesting when we were reading in Exodus there, it talks about proving the people. And we run into that in one of the scriptures here in the New Testament gospel where he I think it's in John, where he says, hey, Philip, where are we going to get the money to feed all these people, to buy bread for all these people? And it says he said that to prove him, because he already knew what he would do, because he had already done it in Exodus. He'd already done it before the foundation of the world. This was just another picture. So again, Luke doesn't devote much attention to the miracle, and he just spends five verses on it, and ending with the question to the disciples, whom say the people that I am, and whom say ye that I am? And as we read in the Old Testament, the people didn't see God in the very works of miracles which he displayed. They murmured. They said, it's just crazy. But that is a serious effect of the fall. Remember last lesson we talked about how pernicious the fall is, how destructive it is, how it just impacts every bit of our nature and every bit of the world that we're in, and how destructive and killing it is. And but you know, in as now as in then, people just don't see God in miracles. And it reiterates to us the absolute necessity of divine revelation, of being born again from above. It's what the Lord told Nicodemus, is if you're not born again from above, you can't see the kingdom of God. It's not visible to you. You can see it in a physical, you can see things in a physical way, but you cannot see the spiritual application. You cannot see the spiritual things of it. And a side note here, that they didn't believe then is now, and none of them, after being blessed with the bread of heaven, entered the promised land. Not a one of them. And so then as now, they did not behold the glory of the Lord. I'd like to have you turn over to Psalm chapter 78, and the psalmist is kind of summarizing what went on in Exodus chapter 16. If you turn over to Psalm 78. And Psalm 78, verse 1, Mashiel of Asaph. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. Isn't that interesting how he says that? I will open my mouth in a parable. And a parable is a physical truth that has the spiritual application. And he says, and I will utter dark sayings of old. And boy, what a description of the results of the fall. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us, will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful work that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come, and you know, that comes down to us, the generation to come, that the generation to come might know, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Set their hope in God. Total reliance on Christ. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and a rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law, forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea. Now that should have been a hint. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through dry shod. And he made the waters to stand as a heap. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. Boy, it just reminded me of our launch out into the deep. You know, all these things speak to so much more than just the physical act. And we find that there's just so much more with the Lord than we know. He gave them drink out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God, and they said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock, that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Boy, what a thing that we find in the Old Testament that describes the very circumstances where that we're in Luke chapter 9 and Mark and Matthew and John chapter 6. In John's account, it tells us that the Passover was nigh. It was coming right up. And he's the one that tells us that it was barley loaves. And he spends a lot more time on it in the other Gospels kind of go move right along to the next thing. But John spent some time because they were up in Bethsaida, which is very interesting because Bethsaida means house of fish. And who was there but the Lord God Almighty, born of a woman, born under the law, in Bethlehem, house of bread. Isn't that two interesting facts that we find here? And after he fed the 5,000 on the Bethsaida side, then everybody moved over to back toward Capernaum, which was on the northwest side. And remember, the disciples in John's account in Matthew, I believe the disciples took ship, and then they said, well, Jesus isn't with us. And then there was another little bit of a raging storm, and they saw him out walking on the water, and he kind of caught up to him. They'd been rowing all night. They'd only gone like 3 furlongs, a couple of miles, and it's in the widest part, it's like 8 miles wide, that Sea of Galilee. And they saw Jesus walking on the water, and they were a little bit afraid of that. And he said, in the English translation, it says, "Fear not, it is I." But if you look those words up in your Strong's Concordance, it's and in your Greek interlinear, it says, the translation is, "I am, fear ye not." Isn't that wonderful? "I am, fear ye not." And then it says, immediately they were where they were supposed to end up. They were moved through time and space immediately over to Capernaum. An interesting part that we learned from John's account. But again, as we look at what we read in Exodus, and then we look at what John record about Philip, where he said he asked Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" He said this to prove Philip, because he knew him, he himself knew what he was would do. That word "prove" is really an interesting word, and it means to pierce through. And it gives you the idea of piercing through the merely physical aspects to perceive the spiritual. You have to look beyond it, and that's what it is in parables. You have to look through the physical to lock on to the spiritual, to perceive the spiritual. He knew what he would do. He would do what he had showed in the wilderness, in when they came out of Egypt. Same thing. "I showed you what I was going to do then. I'm doing it now." And where Luke moves on to another saying of the Lord, and in verse 22 through 27, and in Luke chapter 9, and then then it goes 8 days later to the narrative of the Mount of Transfiguration. John follows the Lord a bit longer and reveals the true motive of those who followed after Jesus, all this multitude of people that followed after him. Their true motives were revealed, and they were after the bounty of free food. And if you think of it in terms of the time and the era and the conditions and the politics of the time, they were under Roman rule. They were looking for a king to come and throw off that Roman rule. And boy, it says they were going to take Jesus by force and make a king out of him. That's what the scripture says. They had said, "Jackpot, we got a guy that can feed us out of nothing. We got a guy that can heal us if we get sick or injured, or if we go to war with the Romans and we get cleaved, he can just touch us and we're well. And he's our king." It's like the trifecta. But they were only looking at the physical aspect of it. They weren't piercing through to the spiritual kingdom that he talked about all the time. My kingdom, not of this world. So I don't care about the Romans, other than the fact that they are here by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God to do what he has before determined to be done, which is kill me, so that I might pay the penalty of sin for my people. So again, they were looking at this thing in purely physical means. And in John, he says, when they followed him over to Capernaum, he didn't feed him anymore. He said, "You seek me not because you saw the miracles. You just seek me because you ate the bread and were filled." It's all you, and you are healed, and all those things. And Matthew and Mark follow pretty closely the same narrative here as Luke. And again, Matthew added that there was women and children there besides the 5,000 men. And Matthew and Mark take us from the feeding to the miracle of the walking on the water. And so with that kind of background as we're going through here, let's look back to Luke 9:10 through 21 with the idea that eventually they're going to be faced with the same questions. Whom say ye that I am? The same thing as Herod. Well, you saw all the miracles. You heard of all the miracles. Raised the dead. Healed the sick. Made the lame to walk. Deaf to hear. Blind to see. Well, if I recognize those as divine miracles from God, then where am I? I have no way out of this. I don't like the outcome of that because it goes against what I want. And if I don't believe them, how can I not believe them? Because we saw them happen. And so this loaves and fishes, flesh in the evening, bread to the full in the morning. Isn't that pictorial in Exodus there? The first thing we note is then, as now, in the wilderness of Moses, there was a lot of people in attendance. Boy, there was a big crowd come out of Egypt. And evening was drawing on there in the northeast shore of the Sea of Galilee in the area of Bethsaida. And we mentioned that was the fishing house or house of fish. It's translated. And again, we find the Lord born of a woman, born under the law in Bethlehem, house of bread. All these things arranged by perfect providence, the determinate counsel of Almighty God. And all the lessons that the disciples learn up to this point about the total reliance on Christ. All the things that were foreshadowed in Exodus and again reiterated in Psalm 78 that we read. And the disciples being proved by Jesus for them to pierce through the merely physical aspects and perceive what was going on spiritually. And the Lord says, give ye them to eat. And they're saying, well, how am I going to do that? I got nothing. I got 5 and 2. That's not enough. And we only have 200 pennies worth of money in our bag. That's not enough to buy bread for all these people. Well, remember what he told them in Luke chapter, when he sent them out in the last chapter. And then we read ahead, we skipped ahead in time to Luke chapter 23 when he's still educating them. And he says, well, when I sent you out with nothing, did you lack anything? And they said, nothing. We were well taken care of. The weather was good. We had places to stay. He said, and if people don't accept you, just shake the dust off your feet and move on. There will be a place for you. And so he controlled the weather. He controlled the circumstances. He controlled their food. Controlled everything so that they would have everything required that they needed. The same as those people in the wilderness. They marched around for 40 years and didn't even wear their shoes out. Yeah, we got to replace shoes every 6 months or so because the soles get all warped, crooked, and they wear out. So applying the physical, they had no resources, no ability. We don't have enough for so many. And isn't that something that applies to the church, to us in every age? So often we only look to our own resources and we say, well, we have 5 and 2. Mm-hmm. How do we see things? I believe. We all say that. But we're like that man said, I believe, help thou my unbelief. We need that. And only through Christ can we pierce through the physical aspects of things and perceive the spiritual. The natural man just can't do that. Can't see the kingdom of God. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, and they're foolishness to him. Well, those people out there, 5,000 plus women and children, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. Well, he's feeding us somehow, but I don't know how. In John, they said, when they got over to Capernaum, he told them he was the bread of life. And they said, evermore give us this bread that we don't have to work for. Evermore. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Give them water out of the rock. Give them flesh. Give them bread to the full in the morning. But I said unto you, ye also have seen me in the physical aspect, and believed not. They didn't pierce, they weren't able of themselves to pierce through and see the spiritual aspect of it. All the Father, and then he says this, he gets right down to the core of the matter with them. He says, you believe not. He says, all the Father giveth me shall come to me. They're all going to come. Not a single one will be left out. And he that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. They're in Christ. You have to be in something to be before you can be cast out. He says, I'll not cast them out. They were my Father's. He gave them to me. He says, unless a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. He can't. Even though all these miracles happen in front of them and all these things that have physical characteristics, they can only see them in a one-dimensional form, and they can't see it. You know what the disciples said? Send them away. We don't have enough. Send them away. And the word of the Lord was, make them sit down by companies, by 50s. And they did so, and they made them all sit down. Now, if you can picture in your mind, if there was the equal number of women and children as there were men, there'd be about 10,000 people there, and you have 12 disciples, 12, going out there and making them sit down. And just try to visualize kind of what's going on. You know, all these people standing out there waiting to see the next miracle. Wondering who's he going to heal now and what's he going to do? And the disciples go out there and say, okay, you 50, sit down here. And you 50, sit down there. And the people are going to be saying, well, why? What's going to happen? And they said, well, Jesus said he's going to feed you. I don't know how. I've only got 5 and 2. But Jesus said, he's going to feed you. Sit down. And so they did so, it says, and they made them all sit down, it says in verse 15. Now, there must have been some conversation, like we just mentioned, and all these people are out there, and I just think back to what it said in Psalm 78, verse 19, they spake against God and said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? How's he going to do that? Remember, he just healed all that needed healing. They had evidence of that. He raised the dead, healed the lame, gave sight to the blind, caused the deaf to hear, and to the poor the gospel was preached. Killed the Egyptians, parted the sea, led them by a cloud by day and a fire by night, brought us streams of water from the rock, gave them flesh to eat and bread to the full. And yet they say, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? That's just by nature, that's just what we're up against. And in all this, they were perplexed, as we found Herod was. There was no way out. If we believe, then we're wrong. Everything that we've decided upon in our own selves, our self-righteousness, all of our works, all of our, well, I'm not so bad, or I've never really done anything worth being sent to hell for, I'm okay. We have no excuse. But in spite of all the evidence, because of the fall, we have this wonderful thing that's given to us in the fall is called rationalization. We can rationalize it away. Well, it's some trick, or it doesn't really mean anything, or we come up with a lot of things. We say, well, it's just a phenomena, or nowadays they say, that's just a myth. It never really happened. There is no God. In all this, there's nothing new today. It's the same thing that we had in Exodus. It's the same thing the psalmist was up against. It's the same thing when on the shore of the Sea of Galilee where Jesus was. Without divine revelation, you're not going to be able to pierce through. And if we go to Psalm 132, we're kind of getting low on time. I want to read the whole thing, but in verse 15 says, I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. He's talking about the church. But boy, if you go through there and if you get some time later on to read that, it's another one of those chapters where you can just circle or underline all the I wills of God. And there's quite a lot of them in there. I will, I will, I will, I will. And the church just benefits from all that. The church gets the blessing. So the people, say, out there on the shore, the 5,000 and the men and the women, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? And can you imagine you're like way back in the nosebleed section, and you see the disciples are coming. You say, is there going to be enough for me? But you know what we always find out is anything too hard for the Lord? God is not, he's not hindered by the quality or the quantity of our faith. It's the faith of Christ. And he says, make them to sit down. Make them to cease. Make them to enter into my rest. That's what he's making them sit down. Like that maniac in Gadara. He was clothed, where before he was naked. He was in his right mind. Amen. He was able to pierce through and see the spiritual. And he was sitting at the feet of Jesus. He was resting. He was relying totally on Christ. And he just said, oh, I want to stay with you. And he said, no, go back and go back to your home and show what great things the Lord had done for you. Show them the spiritual. And so you could go into Hebrews chapter 4 and it talks about entering into the rest of the Lord. Make them sit down, cease from your own works. And you know what he's talking about there in Hebrews chapter 4 is what he's talking about the people in Hebrews chapter 3 that we talked about in Exodus chapter 16 and Psalm 78. They all died in the wilderness. The gospel was preached unto them as same as unto us, but unto them it not being mixed with faith, it was not effectual. And they all died. And Jesus said, your fathers ate manna in the desert and they're all dead. You need to eat the spiritual bread. So if you get time, you can go back and read Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 through 10. Make them sit down. Rest in Christ. where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Is there enough for me? 5,000? Is there enough for me? He said, you know what? When they got done feeding everybody, they were all full, it says. They had as much as they wanted. And there was 12 baskets left over. And I think that's an interesting thing, too, about this. And he said, don't leave it laying around. Go pick up the fragments. This is just for the intended purpose of who I sent it to. It's not for, don't leave it laying around. Is there enough? He blessed the loaves and the fishes, gave thanks to God for it. And then the next thing we see is, then he gave to the disciples, and they gave to the people. I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the same night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, my spiritual body. It's not actually a piece of me, it's a spiritual picture. And you need to pierce through from the physical to the spiritual aspect of it. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death. It's a spiritual picture. 1 Corinthians 15, he says, I delivered unto you that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. Jesus took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, and they gave it to the people. The same spiritual principle. And they gave to the people, and they did eat, and were all filled, it says in verse 17. And not only were they filled, there was plenty left over. And in John's account, he says, I am that bread of life, the bread sent down from heaven by my Father. So next, we finally come to that question that we've been working up to for several weeks now. Whom say ye that I am? The most important question. So we'll stop there for today, and thank you for your attention, and as always, be free.